On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
So let us pray together. And at the end of the prayers, we're going to join together in the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to sing this morning. So we pray. Lord of all, hear our prayer for those in sorrow or need, for those whose lives are overshadowed by sickness, tragedy, worry or want. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. Father God, as we gather this morning, we think of those who are unwell, those known to us, those in hospital, those who are waiting for surgery, those with permanent illness or disability. We pray in a moment of quiet, for those who are close to us, who need a special prayer. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. Father God, on this day, we think of those who are sad, for those life has brought disappointment, for those who are hurt in relationships, for those who have lost or will face losing loved ones. And again, we take a moment to remember those we've loved and lost. We think of those who are troubled, worried about family and friends. We pray especially for those who are fearful of the future, for those who are consumed by anxiety and insecurity. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. Father, we think on this day of those enduring hardship, victims of famine, disaster, oppression, or war. We pray, turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. And Lord of all, reach out into our bruised and bleeding world, and touch the lives of all who are broken or are breaking. We pray particularly this morning for the people of Afghanistan. We cannot, Lord, understand what it is and what it's all about. But all we can see is the pain and anguish on people's faces. We see children desperate, clinging to parents, clinging to hope. Father, we pray for the people of Afghanistan this morning. We pray not just for those who have been able to get out, but for those who will undoubtedly need to stay or be forced to stay. We pray, Lord, that they might find some semblance of peace and calm. We continue to pray for the people of Haiti. We see the loss and destruction there, not for the first time, where many have lost their lives, families uprooted, homes squashed. Father, we just bring those people before you this morning. We continue to pray for the people of Plymouth as they still come to terms with what took place there. Father, we pray, may the light of your love shine through, bringing healing where there is disease, delight where there is dismay, peace where there is distress, and hope where there is despair. Turn their mourning to dancing, their sackcloth to clothes of joy. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Breaking and mending. Today we come together in church or at home to give thanks to God and to share in a meal that Jesus instituted. We find this familiar passage in 3 of the 4 Gospels. This is not just a storytelling, but a belief by the writers to tell a truth. This encounter in this story takes place on the day before Jesus' death. The day we refer to as Good Friday, the day he died, Maundy Thursday, when the meal took place. This would be a special day, a special week in the Passover week. And this was one of the most important times in the lives of Jewish men and women. This was when the Passover was celebrated, the reminder of the release from slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. The tradition and rituals of Passover were elaborate. They sang songs. There was recitations. There was food. It was all about celebration. The food was for eating, but was also symbolic. Pat Cook notes, there was something called aroshi, a thick, chunky, fruity mixture, meant to remind the people of the mortar used in making bricks for the Egyptians. There was lamb, reminding the people of the blood of the lamb spread over the doorposts some years earlier. In our Bible passage read this morning, there are two elements mentioned, bread and wine. It was custom to have unleavened bread, that is, bread made without yeast. And I suppose we'd look at it, we'd best perhaps describe it as looking something like pita bread. The bread that Jesus shared was unleavened and was called matzah. So as bread was broken and shared, wine becomes symbolic as well. In Exodus 6, we have in the course of the evening, 4 cups of wine, representing 4 I wills. I will bring you, I will free you, I will redeem you, I will take you. The cup that Jesus took and shared with his disciples was the 3rd cup, the cup of redemption. He took the cup again, blessing, giving thanks, sharing it with his disciples, those who had been following him year upon year. We remind ourselves that Jesus wasn't putting on a show. He gave thanks out of sincerity. And yet, why did Jesus need to give thanks? After all, Jesus was the Son of the Creator. He had power and authority to do anything. He could have turned water into wine. Remember his first miracle? There at the wedding, when they asked him, why did you save the best till last? And what about the bread? Surely he could have made the bread in front of them. He could take bread and break it and feed 5,000 people. Jesus was thankful that he was sharing in a Passover meal, a reminder of the release from slavery, reading the Exodus story. Jesus was fully man and fully God. And the death of Jesus was about to change the way people related to God. When we look back into the Old Testament, we look back at many of the rituals, sacrificing sheep, goats, bulls, birds on the altar, giving of the first crops, entering into ceremonies, which required traveling often long distances. So many rules made it difficult. All that was needed was faith. Could you imagine if we were living in those times, or if today we had to go and take? Today, all we have to do is go and take ourselves. We give ourselves. The death and resurrection of Jesus brought about change. Jesus was saying is, all you need is me. Not rituals and traditions. This is the new thing. This is the new order. And Jesus is not looking for perfection. He's saying, no matter who you are, just trust me. Just trust me. Sometimes we think we have to be a particular kind of person to be accepted by Jesus. But Jesus accepted everyone. He didn't distinguish. He didn't separate people up. People on the right and people on the left. We're good at doing that. We can do it quite easily. He just simply says, trust me. And the breaking of bread and the sharing of wine was about to bring a new relationship. Again, that said, just trust me. I wonder how much we trust in Jesus alone. The people had been released. They'd been freed from when the need was to go through the priest. What Jesus did was to change the way we encounter God. It becomes a personal encounter through Jesus rather than having to go to a priest and confess our sins. We come as we are with Jesus saying, trust me. The bread, a reminder of Jesus' broken body. The wine, spilt blood, a celebration meal for us all to take part in. And we offer that invitation today. We offer that invitation around the table to share in bread and wine, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from. Because Jesus invites us. He invites us to meet with him around the table. We give thanks for the love shown to the world. For Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ stands amongst us this morning. So we can come to this table with thankful hearts. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to realize how much Jesus loves us. But Jesus simply says, trust me. Trust me. I wonder how much we're prepared to trust. I wonder how much we're prepared to give of ourselves. In a week or two's time, we'll have our first meeting of those who have intimated that they would like to learn more and share more about baptism or church membership. An opportunity to explore together. An opportunity for people to come closer to God through Jesus and to say, I want you to take my life. I want to be part of something that is special, something that is important, something that is meaningful. Someone said to me just a few weeks ago, I couldn't be baptized because I couldn't stand there and speak. My answer was to them, well, you're not the only one. There are many people who find that difficult. There are people who find it easier, maybe, to share in a poem, as simple as a poem that we shared from a child this morning, or maybe from a hymn that actually have words that have meaning and purpose. One of the songs that we sing around Easter time when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. We need to look out to the cross, because it is from the cross that we get our sustenance into. We get that sharing of bread and wine as we recognize that the cross was the place that Jesus was broken. But the cross could not halt. Jesus said, even to that point, trust in me. When that one on the side of him says, save us, save us. And the other one saying, hang on a minute. This is what we deserve. This is the price that we have to pay for our folly. But Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's forgiveness for us all. There's opportunities to start again. And so, as we come to the table, I'm going to ask Dave to play When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and then we can approach the table with an opportunity to meet with the risen Lord Jesus.